This is the What Now Podcast.
I was crying. I was so worried. I was just concerned. I was feeling a lot of fear of, am I good enough? Can I do this? Kept coming up in my mind. And so I had to go in and take it. And I just remember before I went in, saying a prayer and being like, okay, God, if this is the path that I'm supposed to go on, I need your help. And he showed up.
This is the What Now Podcast, where we discuss sensitive topics surrounding cultural norms in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in an effort to create more understanding, hope, and healing for our church community. I am Mary Alice Hatch, your host. Today, I am so excited to announce the second episode of my Second Act series with Emily Gold. This four-episode series is designed to help women find renewed purpose and direction after their kids leave home. If you missed the first episode, 106, with Whitney Johnson, you can go back and listen to it to discover some valuable insights for how to identify your passions and interests that will fill your life with renewed purpose and meaning, and how to find opportunities that will allow you to manifest your true potential. I have found so many women struggling to know what to do after their kids leave home, and I personally struggled with this issue when I entered midlife, and it was really difficult. And I would have benefited so much from hearing these important episodes on how to navigate this difficult transition in our lives. I mean, I love how these four women are so honest and open about the reality and the fears that they faced as they moved into this unknown territory and reinvented themselves midlife. I hope their experiences will help you and give you the confidence you need to find renewed purpose and meaning in your life, and that you will share these important episodes to help other women in your life who are also on this journey and could use some extra support. Today, I'm here with Emily Gold. Welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
I'm glad to have you here today. We're going to get started by just having you share a little bit about yourself so listeners can get to know you better. Is that okay?
Definitely. Yeah. My name is Emily Gold. My family and I have lived in Massachusetts for about the last 25 years, where I was primarily a stay-at-home mom and spent a lot of time working in the church and volunteering in the community. And about 4 years ago, I decided to go back to school and get my master's in clinical mental health counseling, and now work at a university counseling college kids.
Amazing. Okay, so that's what we're talking about today, is this kind of second chapter of our life, the second act of our life. And it feels like everyone I talk to lately, it's like at the forefront of the women my age, over 50, of how to reinvent yourself midlife. It's tricky. Everyone seems to be facing this. They've been home raising their kids. I mean, you were a dedicated stay-at-home mom with five kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, did you always know that later you'd want to go back to school and pursue counseling, or was that just something that developed as you were raising your kids?
No, definitely developed as I was raising my kids. I mean, I had seen my mom had gone back to work after a number of us had graduated from high school and my youngest brother had gone off to kindergarten. But so I'd seen it done. It had definitely been modeled for me. So I knew that it was a possibility. But no, as I was raising my kids, mental health counseling and entering that field was not ever really a consideration.
So how did you decide you were going to go into something like that?
Great question. So honestly, it kind of started, I ended up with a calling in the church that I loved. And I had had a lot that I enjoyed, and I just had this one that I really, really loved in working with the youth. And I had just spent a lot of time around them, working with them. And when that call ended, I realized that I felt like I had something more to give. And I wanted to kind of keep working with youth in a way, but I wasn't quite sure how exactly I was going to go about doing it. But I spent the next couple of years just really considering what it is that I could do to kind of get myself back in that space.
Mm-hmm. So you realized you had a connection with the youth. You saw a need for what was it you were seeing that they were needing? And maybe that prompted you to kind of target what you were going to go back to school for.
Yeah. I found myself kind of sitting across from a lot of youth, talking with them about their needs, about their fears, about what was going on in their lives. And they just, I don't know, I was right of approachable adult that they wanted to confide in. And so I just ended up hearing a lot of things about the kids that they were worried about. And I realized that there was a lot of need to work through a lot of issues with kids.
Well, there is so much out there now with, you know, mental health challenges, mm-hmm. especially with the youth and coming off of COVID, I can only imagine. Mm-hmm. So how did you gather the courage to kind of go back to school? It's intimidating to go back to school.
It was really intimidating. And I talk about this as if it was kind of like a short process, but it was actually a really long process. And I think, you know, it's interesting because you said a lot of women are really thinking about, like, what do I do next? And I probably spent, I don't know, probably walked 10,000 miles with my friends kind of talking about the subject of what's next. Like, what are we going to do next? What am I going to do next? How am I going to enter kind of the next stage of life as I saw my kids getting older and starting to one by one graduate from high school and leave the home. And so I talked about it a lot. And, in all of those conversations, I found myself kind of going back to what are the things that I really enjoy? What are the things in the moments when I really felt that I was doing something important? And it just going back to my interactions with the youth. And so I just, honestly, it was after a lot of talking and a lot of trying to figure it out, my oldest daughter was back home on Christmas over a break. And she and I sat down and we were just kind of talking about it. She was like, well, why don't you look for programs? Why don't you, like, instead of talking about it, why don't you do something about it? And got on the computer and started Googling different mental health programs and at different universities in the area, and found a program that looked interesting and kind of went from there.
So, yeah. So you did like a Google search, you're just kind of scoping it out. Mm-hmm. And then how did you get the courage to act on it?
And definitely. That is a huge leap. I think it was a lot of things, actually. I had a number of friends who had gone back to school, and I'd watched them do it. And I'd just been really impressed with them because they'd been able to manage it and juggle it. And so I thought, you know, I know this is a possibility. And then honestly, it was like this one moment where I Googled this one program, found it, and it took my daughter kind of like, you know what, you should just go to the informational night. They have an open house. And so I did. I signed up for it and I drove down into Boston, and I remember showing up and honestly being scared to even go into the building. I was nervous about it. I thought, what am I even doing? I'm this, you know, middle-aged woman coming into this program. Like, I was kind of unsure. Well, I wasn't kind of. I was very unsure of myself. And I almost turned around. I almost didn't go in. And then there was just something that was like, okay, I've come this far. Let me just try. And so I walked in and I sat down at the table, and something about it just really deeply resonated. I felt like I was in a good space. And so I decided that I was going to keep pursuing it and started down the path.
I know. So that's the hardest part, I think, like being there at the entry gate for the first class and not running.
Oh, it was, I mean, I think, you know, even getting to the first class, I'll talk about even getting to the first class, because there are a lot of steps that took going to the first class. It was even before then I had to apply, and in having to apply, it meant I had to take a standardized test. And that was a daunting task for me. It had been 30 years since I had had to do something like that. And I was genuinely worried about it. And I studied for it and I prepared for it. And I remember driving down back into Boston to go take it. And I was crying. I was so worried. I was just concerned. I was feeling a lot of insecurity and doubt about it. I was, right? That fear of, am I good enough? Can I do this? Kept coming up in my mind. And I was really worried that I was going to get, right, a printed out number of like that I wasn't capable of doing it. And so I had to go in and take it. And I just remember before I went in saying a prayer and being like, okay, God, if this is the path that I'm supposed to go on, I need your help. I can't do this alone. I need your help. And he showed up.
You're like, please fill in the bubbles.
Yes. No, honestly, I was. It was like, it was a moment of like, if this is really what I'm supposed to do, because I felt like all along in the process, I felt like in a way it was like the path kept opening up, and it wasn't this like simple, easy, linear, like, oh, I'm going to do this now and this is my next plan. But it was just like, I wasn't sure. And like, things kept presenting themselves, and my daughter sitting down with me that one night and like finding this program and showing up at the program and then feeling like maybe it was the right thing, or just these little like motivations that were pushing me in the direction of where I felt like I ultimately needed to go. But it was once again going into that test and sitting there and saying, is this right? And if it's right, I need help. But if you show up, then I'll know I'm on the right path. And I came out of the test and it was funny. I was too scared to get my score when I first came out. And so the woman was like, oh, do you want it right now? Or do you want us to send it to you? And I said, oh, you can just send it to me. I don't want to know now. And so I left and I went back to my car, and I got to my car and I was like, okay, wait a minute, Emily, like go back and get it. And so I did. And yeah, it was a lot better than I expected. It was, and I think in that moment, I knew that it's where I was supposed to go. That if I did my part, then, and I would show up in it, then God would show up and help out.
Mm-hmm. I love that faith and works combo, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. like courage, you had the faith to lean on the Lord, but you also prepared, you were ready.
Yeah.
That combo is important because it's so easy to talk ourselves out of things. And I know so many times, like even when I started this podcast, I'm like, what am I doing? I don't know what a podcast is. I don't know how to interview people. What am I doing? You feel like this total like identity crisis. Like, am I really capable of doing this? But the Lord will sustain us. He will back us. I feel that all the time. And you just shared a perfect example of that.
Yeah. No, I saw that over and over again, doing our part and then saying, you know what, if this is what is needful and I'm willing to walk down this path, then yeah, help me.
Mm-hmm. I know. So you did feel that help. I mean, you were clearly prepared. You're a very intelligent person. I know you, but you're also have to lean in on the Lord. And if it's not right, help me, let me know. I love that.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think in that moment, it was really great because yes, I was prepared. I knew. And I think part of it was just, I think part of God showing up was him just saying like, you have this, like you can do this and you need to trust in yourself and you need to trust in me, but you need to trust in yourself too. Mm-hmm. And I think that moment of just being like, okay, I can do this. I can do it. Was really comforting to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that reassurance.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what would you say to other women in the second act of their life who aren't sure what to do and they let this fear and insecurity hold them back?
Yeah, I mean, I it is a very real thing. And I've had numerous conversations with so many of my friends of just that fear, right? Because there's this innate worry, like, am I good enough? Can I do this? Am I capable of it? What if I fail? What if it doesn't work out? What if will I make a fool of myself? Like, what if, you know, the what ifs and the worries and the what if it's not the right thing? And I think so many times it's just having the courage. And sometimes it starts with little steps. Sometimes it starts with little things that we do, of just the things that we're worried about, the things that scare us, and just trying. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just, and I don't know, for me in my own life, it's like go and try something small and like have success there and then keep going. And yeah, just keep trying.
I kind of like the idea of starting something small and then finding mm-hmm. success. So it kind of gives you the confidence you need to kind of move forward with it.
Absolutely. In fact, it was funny. I was having a conversation with a good friend of mine today who decided also later in life that she wanted to go and do yoga training. And so to become a yoga instructor. And so she did. And because of that, she had to teach these yoga classes and I'd never been before. And I just remember showing up. It was such a small thing. showing up at her class that she was teaching and like, okay, I'm in an uncomfortable space. I've never done this before, but I'm just going to do it. And once again, tiny and small, like this is an easy, easy, easy thing. But I remember that feeling of just being very uncomfortable and feeling very vulnerable of like, I don't like to not know what I'm doing. And so I did it. And I remember just in such a small way, but an impactful way, like it gave me confidence to keep trying more things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. If you do little bite-sized pieces, then you feel like, okay, I think I've got this. Yeah, right. It kind of builds up your confidence. I mean, what did it feel like going back to school as a middle-aged woman with so many younger students? You're like the total mom in the group.
No, I know. And it's really interesting because I, you know, definitely far older than most, not shockingly, not the oldest in one or two of my classes, but I mean, I definitely was older. And I think what I needed to learn from that experience and what I did gain is the value of what I had to offer. And when I first showed up, I was just intimidated because I was like, I haven't been here in so long. But then I realized, wait a minute, I have a lot of strengths that I can offer these, my fellow students. And I began to feel it and they began to see it. And then it became this really wonderful experience of like mutual learning and recognizing what we had to offer each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And because you would have an interesting perspective as someone who's lived 20 years longer than they have, 30 years longer, you know, and have some perspective. I mean, I think that adds value to a class.
Definitely. And I think I had to give credit to my professors. It was interesting. I was actually just walking with one of my professors earlier today. And kind of talking about this exact thing, about how much I appreciated my professors who recognized the value of my experience, that it wasn't necessarily an academic strength, but it was lived experience that was so beneficial to be able to share to the classroom. And so I would have them frequently call on me and just say, okay, in a developmental class and be like, is this right? Like, is this how it is? Because some of them didn't have kids. They hadn't been through a lot of the experiences that I had. And so they would constantly like be checking me and asking me, is that how it actually is? And just respecting that experience actually gave me a new perspective on a lot of the things that I had done and how valued they are.
I love that. Like the student becomes the teacher.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. It happened quite a bit.
Like, okay, you've raised five kids. Can you get up and do a spotlight on this right now for adolescents?
Yes. No, it happened quite a bit.
That's so funny. So, so now we have a lot of women who just, they want to have purpose. They want to have meaning in their life. They're not sure what direction to go in. And I feel like as members of the church, we have more pressure to do something when our kids leave home that is fulfilling and has purpose and can help people. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's just our gospel knowledge and our background in the church where I feel like we're uncomfortable just, you know, like working at the local store. Like we want to do something that has meaning. Right? Because raising children has so much meaning and purpose. And so it's almost like you just want to keep going with that. Would you agree? What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, I absolutely agree. And I think it gets a little tricky because there's this whole desire to do something of value and to do something that's meaningful and to contribute, which are great motives. Like, right, we want to do things that are important and that can help and serve. But I think it gets a little tricky too, because when we look for kind of external validation that we have worth and that, right, our purpose comes from what we do rather than just who we are. And so that becomes this, really interesting struggle, I think, that comes up among at least all of my peer group that I've talked about frequently about different conversations about this. Of just like, do I matter because of what I do? And so that is something that I think it's important to like recognize and catch that and be like, am I just trying to do something more so I can have worth? Or is it, am I doing something more because I have something to contribute inside of me? And just kind of getting a really strong sense of self and worth and not having it to be dependent on what we do, And so just recognizing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Because I think a lot of what we do can be tied to how much value we have.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah. And that can be really hard on confidence if you feel like, oh, I'm just not doing what I want to be doing or what I need to be doing. And I don't even know how to get to what I want to be doing. I haven't been in the workforce for 30 years. Mm-hmm. I don't even have a network. Mm-hmm. Like, how am I going to leapfrog into this? And then you can talk yourself out of it because it just feels so daunting.
Right. Absolutely. And I think so recognizing one, that sense of innate worth is one thing, but then also this idea of like, what am I going to do next? And a lot of times I know, like from even personal experience, when I was trying to go through this, it's like, I wanted to do the right thing for me next. Like I didn't want to waste time or do something that wasn't the right thing. And so that became almost this like daunting task, as you say, to like figure out what the right thing is. And I think that idea of it being this perfect next thing can become a huge roadblock. Because we think we have to do it exactly right. Whereas we don't give ourselves opportunity to say, well, I'm going to try something and it might not be the thing, but it is a thing. And so just allowing yourself space. I have a number of really good friends who, you know, went back to school and thought, oh, this is what I'm going to do. And then halfway through their program or even after their program was done, they're like, you know what? That wasn't it. But like, I started down this path and like, okay, that wasn't it, but I'm going to try something else. And like giving ourselves the space to not have it be the exact right thing, but like knowing that we can get there. And it might take some twists and turns to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting because that would be tough if you've just gotten a master's or you've gone down this road and then you're like, oh, dang, I don't even want to do this.
Right, right.
You feel pigeonholed almost like, but what am I going to do now? Like I just need this degree. Like it'd be easy to just kind of sideline yourself and just do it. But I think, important to, go ahead.
And I think it's interesting because it's like we go down a path and we think, oh, because I have this, the next thing is obviously this, right? There's this next thing. Whereas it's so interesting. Like I have this really good friend who I was also walking with today, who it's been so interesting to see because she is this great example of that, who she has always been like coming up with the next thing that she's going to do. And she has these grand plans and she does remarkable things, but she'll like get somewhat into it and be like, okay, this isn't the thing, but it's taken me on the path to what's after that. And we were walking and talking this morning and she's in this place right now that we were just laughing because 6 years ago, it was something completely different than where she is now. But it's exactly like she's followed the path and it's gotten her to that place. So I think giving ourselves that space and grace to say, I'm doing this thing and it's getting me somewhere and it might not be exactly where I think I have to go. But if we come up with resistance and say, but I don't like this, then just trust that like to keep going and try what comes next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're hitting an important point there about trusting yourself mm-hmm. and trusting the impressions that you get and not feeling a sense of obligation, but doing it because in your heart of hearts, you know, it's right for you.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like every time I've ignored that like internal compass, it's not been what I wanted.
Yeah. No, and it's interesting to like take the time in our lives. I think especially as like, right, Mormon women who have been raising kids and so involved in a lot of things, that sometimes we don't take that time to truly hone into that inner compass and to ourselves and to know what we really want and need. And so just allowing that space to think, okay, what is it that I'm looking for? And what are the things that, you know, I need that I can do in the ways that I can contribute and what are my strengths and what are the things that really excite me or like turn me on. I think that's when I brought up the calling at the very beginning, like I had this calling that all like I had tons of callings before that, in fact, in the youth program, but this was one that just like it turned me on. There was something that just opened me up and I just was like, this is the thing that I love doing. Like I love doing this. And I think so just taking the time to realize what are the things that excite us is really important.
Mm-hmm. That is so true. Like if you are kind of like giddy, excited, you know, that's something maybe you need to pursue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get that. Or if you walk away and you feel like, just kind of dreaded or heavy, then mm-hmm. you have to walk away from that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we need to just internalize like our own feelings and how we feel about it. And mm-hmm. if it excites us or if it kind of leaves us feeling a little depressed, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's mm-hmm. a really good indicator. Or even mm-hmm. if you don't, you still try that, you don't get anywhere, to ask family and friends, what am I good about? Like, what am I good at? What am I good at? What do you see in me? Because sometimes mm-hmm. people see in us things we don't see in ourselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, I think too, a willingness to just, to try and try again. My sister started one job and she had one in the first year of it. She just didn't love it. So she's like, I'm going to switch and go to a different school. And now she just loves it. And so sometimes it's just a change of environment. Sometimes. Yeah.
I mean, how did your transition look like going from a full-time mom to working again? That's got to be different.
That is. I mean, I have to say, I kind of eased into it a little going back to school. We were down to just two children at home. And now that I've started full-time work, well, I just work part-time. We just have one left at home. So that's definitely been an easier transition. I think a lot of very open and honest conversations with my husband about support and what it's going to look like and kind of balancing out responsibilities at home has been really important to do. And we've kind of learned a lot of lessons over our married life about, you know, through hard times, trying to figure out supporting and helping each other out and then just voicing like, this is really important to me. And so I would appreciate, you know, support in this area, and him being receptive to it is really helpful.
Yeah, just being open with your spouse and managing expectations, you know, mm-hmm. like, this is what I hope you'll support me in doing. Because a lot of women do step aside to raise the kids. Mm-hmm. And, you know, since some women say, well, you know, one day I do want to go back to school. And so when that time comes, that they're supportive of that, you know, or whatever that looks like.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think that's really important to be able to have that conversation, if possible, to have that pretty early on, you know, what it is that you hope for in your, over the course of your relationship, and saying, yeah, I really value and it's important to me to be at home with the kids. But I think at one point in my life, like, I'd like to try something else too. And having that conversation.
For sure. I mean, did you have a role model or a mentor to guide you through this new chapter of your life?
Definitely. A number of friends of mine who had gone through, who are just a little bit older, who had kind of gone through this, were very helpful. I think looking back on my mom, when she started back to work after raising, you know, most of her kids, and just kind of to see how she ended up balancing it, was very helpful and beneficial. And then, the friends I've had.
Was your mom an empty nester when she went back to work?
No. So she went back to work when my youngest brother started kindergarten.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So there was a big age span. So some of us were already in college, but my youngest brother, it was right when he went, to school.
Interesting. Cause that's pretty young. I guess he was in full time. Like she could work school hours. Mm-hmm. She worked mm-hmm. at school, right?
Yeah. And she ended up working at the school that we had all attended. So it was, I mean, I still had siblings. I had siblings who were there. So yeah. So she was still very much a part of everyone's life.
That's cool. And then she could work school hours.
Mm-hmm.
She'll be there for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something to consider too. Like if you have kids at home, younger kids at home, maybe you find something where you can work school hours and have that flexibility. So you mm-hmm. don't feel like you're pulling away from your family, but you're still growing and developing while they're at school.
Definitely. And I think especially in this day and age, there's so much flexibility in different work environments that you can really, there are a lot more opportunities to find things that work into your family life. That was part of like this job that I ended up getting. I knew that part-time was where I needed to go right away, and I needed some other time off, in order to focus on my family too and to prioritize them, to sort of find that balance and to find a job that offered that was a high priority for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. You're prioritizing what your time looks like. Mm-hmm. So what do you wish you'd done differently while you were raising your kids so you could have better prepared for life after being the full-time mom? Do you think there's something you would speak to about that?
Definitely. I think looking back on it now, I think kind of starting sooner to think about and consider what I wanted to do next would have been helpful. And I think, but with that, also recognizing what I was doing and the value and the skills that I was learning. I think part of the time, like, it's really easy when you're a stay-at-home mom to like not recognize all the abilities and skills and strengths that you have, because you just get so caught up in kind of everyday mundane tasks. And even if you're volunteering and have big callings and all of these things, sometimes it can be easy to forget your strengths, because there's part of us that are like, well, I'm just a stay-at-home mom. And so I think one thing, especially going back to school and recognizing the value of all that I had been learning and doing, was just, I wish that when I was in the middle of it, I would have recognized it more and kind of appreciated the skills that I was developing and given myself credit for what I did know how to do.
Yeah, kind of being aware of what you're developing, your strengths you're creating, the skills you're honing. I mean, think of some of the callings that we have in this church. They are high-functioning callings, lots of organization, follow-up, follow-through. I mean, we're developing some amazing skills. We public speak. I mean,
oh, absolutely.
Leadership training.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think there's so much that's going on there that we, sometimes we fail to recognize. And so I think giving ourselves credit for what we are capable of. And sometimes we downplay that. And I think being able to recognize that and notice the things that are really, like we talked about earlier, that are really exciting to us, and seeing and considering different ways that we can keep that going.
Well, thank you. I love what we talked about today. I love that you shared your experience, and hopefully this will encourage and give direction to the women that are in this second act of life and give them the confidence to really tackle what it is they want to achieve. Because in this second act of life, we can do a lot of good. So any parting words, Emily?
No, I think it's just a matter of trying, just taking those risks and doing it. I think a lot of times we hold ourselves back. It can be scary to try something new and different, to put ourselves out there. And I think just having the courage to try and knowing that it's okay if we make mistakes and if to take those risks and to recognize too that we have a lot to offer. I think one final thing is just in this field that I'm in mental health counseling, like I came into it and it felt like an incredibly familiar place when I sat down and started doing counseling, because I've been doing it so much through church callings and raising kids. And there's such a great need for it. And so I think Mormon women, especially, like tapping into that as a resource, you have a lot of skills that can be utilized. And so recognizing those skills and then finding ways that you can serve and help.
Beautifully said.
It's really important.
It is important. That is beautifully said. Thank you so much, Emily, for your time today. I loved our conversation.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for listening to the What Now podcast. Please share this episode with family, friends, and anyone you think it might help. If you enjoyed the podcast, please take a minute to leave a positive rating and written review, which really does allow these important messages to help more people. If you're on Instagram, follow us at Podcast What Now for inspirational messages and highlights from our past and present episodes. We never say goodbye, we say what now. This has been a What Now podcast production.